Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring Daysort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Time now for the Sunday Morning Hangover with Nick Curran and Phil Baker on your number one spot for sports in Louisville, ESPN 680 and 105.7.
But here's what I'm upset about. They said I have man boobs. I do not. Look, these things right here, Jack, these things are hard as rocks. There's no man boobs when they, and so I, you know, Sweezy and Streetle owe me an apology. And I expect it right off the bat at 3 o'clock today. You tell them, I said apologize or there will be hell to pay.
Oh boy. Dan Issel coming in hot. Welcome in, boys and girls. Seventh highest rated sports talk show on Sundays during a highly competitive 10 to noon time slot. Know you have many sports options this morning, so appreciate you making us a part of the day. A little fill-in space for about 90 seconds or so. Nick Curran on the way. Look, it's B-Day day for the little one. It's her first birthday. He's over here running around. Told him to do the show from home, but the hardest working man in showbiz will make his triumphant return to the Liquor Barn Studios.
He gets no days off at this point.
What'd you say?
Nick gets no days off.
I know. Well, the bat season came to a conclusion, I believe, yesterday. So I believe the long summer, as some have deemed it, is over. Welcome in. As I said, he's Spencer Brown. I'm Phil Baker. Nick Curran set to join us here momentarily. A fun weekend of college football. We'll dive into that. Was out at the Louisville game for a little bit yesterday. Kentucky with a little bit sloppy of a start in the first half. Pulled away from Northern Illinois, number 8 team in the country. Louisville did what it was supposed to do, so we can dive into that with Nick Curran, Spencer Brown, your calls in text as well. Good, just got get to talk to my main man, George Timmery, Barino's by the bridge. It's good to see him here down by the ESPN Louisville studios doing a little handoff, if you will, of the... Sorry, hey, there he is, the man, the myth, the legend, coming in. Did a little handoff for a little Louder in Life passes that were, you know, giving out. He's going out there. He was out there all weekend. I can only do one night. I will be out there tonight. So that'll be fun. He's going to reenact, I guess, Woodstock 99. Have you either of you seen that documentary? It is fantastic.
I have not been aware that it exists.
You know, the only sad thing about that, and here's a spoiler alert for Nick, if he watched it. I know Spencer hadn't watched it because you were hatched out of an egg like 3 years ago. Dave Holmes, are you familiar with Dave Holmes from MTV?
I know a little about the MTV days. I don't know Dave
Holmes. He was not in the documentary. He was like, he did the karaoke thing. Or at least I didn't see him if I was zoning in and out. You had Carson Daly. You had all the heavy hitters on that Woodstock 99 doc. But you will not get that out at Louder Than Life. It looks like a well-ran event if it's anything like Bourbon and Beyond. So we will be out there with the crew.
Did you sing along with Chris Stapleton? That's the question Nick and I both want to know.
I know some of the songs. I have terrible rhythm when it comes to that. I mean, you know, it's one of those things when it comes to 90s rap, that's my wheelhouse. I mean, that's apparently Ice-T was at the Denny's off Eastern Parkway, by the way. I saw that circulating on Twitter. Missed kind of my moment there for that. But Jack Black was at Vernon Lane's. I saw he went bowling there. So Tenacious D, I could have seen that. To answer your question about Chris Stapleton, did I sing to that? I hummed some of the songs. I kind of, you know, like you're saying watermelon when you're just kind of trying to fit in with the crowd and everything. I know some of his songs. I know the themes. Got great voice. But you know, it's just that it's my.
Who's the headliner tonight?
The Chili Peppers. And if you've seen Woodstock 99?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have you seen it?
I've seen Woodstock.
Oh, boy.
Well, yeah. I think we talked about this on the show.
Did we? It's terrible deja vu. I think you brought up
Dave Holmes at everything.
Did I? God,
yeah, I think we had the exact same discussion.
We have a thing with my buddy where it's called Ricky Repeats, and I have this thing where I call it, you know, my cobwebs, where I can't remember if I'm just giving takes in the back or I talked about it on air. So a little deja vu. No, this is not a podcast from last week. This is, in fact, the 7th highest rated sports talk show on Sundays. Met some fans of yours yesterday at the game when we were walking in. Sweeney just had like a full-on just entourage of people just flocked over him, taking pictures with him and everything. Then I get this nice gentleman with, I believe, his kiddos and just said, well, we'll see if they're snake bitten tomorrow. And your co-host will probably take that approach as well. So I was like, I bet a fan. So there you go, Nick Curran.
They were not snake bitten.
How's, first off, how are you? You've been running around all over the place. Is everything in play for the birthday party today? Are we good to go?
Oh, yeah, we got the birthday party's ready. Amanda and Eliza will be heading. It's at Amanda's parents' house.
Is there a theme?
Kind of. There's flamingos.
Okay.
She likes flamingos. Looks like she is she's awoken from her nap. So
her slumber.
Yeah. So there's flamingos. She loves. She loves all Disney, basically, but in particular, Lilo and Stitch. So those are the two main themes for today. That's a little bit later. They're about to head over there and start getting everything ready. Apparently, it's a whole to-do to get everything ready. She'll never remember it. She has no idea what's going on, but hours and hours of effort into it. I'll be showing up after this,
though, look at you. I mean, just the heavy lifting of talking sports, of talking about a 41-3 beatdown for Louisville over South Florida. Well, that's awesome. And then you can talk about Kentucky. Yeah, a little sloppy in the first half, and we can dive
maybe
in.
Maybe the second a little bit, too.
But that's awesome. I can't believe she's a year old, and that's...
I can't either.
Time flies. Well,
it sure does. But looking forward to that today, and then... flying out early tomorrow to go to Atlanta. The Bats' final three games are in Gwinnett against the Stripers, the AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Tomorrow night, Tuesday night, Wednesday afternoon, and then the Bats' season is over. The final home game of the year was yesterday. The Bats finished it off with a win, 6-4 over Nashville. Great crowd, over 6,000 there. Did the all-you-can-eat deal, and folks turned out for that, so that was it was good.
Nice. I had some friends that were out there. I was getting some pictures of that. So next time I need to link them up with you and get the VIP tour of Kern and Kelchi up there. I know.
Yeah, it was a gorgeous day out there yesterday. Yeah, Perfect day to be out.
Mark with the C. Weinberg gave us a favorable forecast. So there you go. Was out at the game, the UofL game, for a little bit yesterday. So it was nice to see the heavy hitters out there and everything in between the debauchery leading up to the nooner for that. So that was...
Well, yeah.
So what else is going on? Not that it? I feel like we haven't been in studio for a while. It's
weird to be here, but here we are. We'll be here much more regularly going forward, at least for the next month or so.
Okay.
Or more. I don't know. Well,
women's basketball is starting up soon.
It'll be going soon. I think I miss in a couple weeks. I think I'm going to miss it because we're going to be in Las Vegas.
That's fine. You know, and if you need to connect, great. If not, Spencer and I can do the heavy lifting. It's fine. I get, you know, boots on the ground. You at the Bellagio pulling some, like Coach K, maybe playing the penny slots or something like that. And then you could chime in from the Lucy app right there.
I'm not a big slots guy, so probably won't be playing the slots. Yeah,
Kern's like the Rain Man of casinos.
He's like Alan from The Hangover.
Alan from The Hangover,
where he's like counting cards.
Exactly.
Imagine him on the Lucy app.
Certainly not that.
Imagine him on the Lucy app where they think he has something in his ear or
don't
something
believe
like
they
that.
Allow you to have your phone
just,
out
he just gets
table.
Tackled by pretty some sure big Rames doppelganger. That'd be great.
Don't think we have to worry about that.
Be great for the show.
Also for the show, it's 7-9 Pacific. So
that's
might be
early.
Pretty tough. I'm not sure I can make that happen.
No, hey, if you need to take some week off, you win in Sin City. Nick Curran in Sin City just it's like the Predator.
Going out, we've got a wedding out there. We're going out there for a wedding.
Is it an Elvis wedding?
I don't think it's an Elvis wedding, but it's a Vegas wedding.
Nice.
So we're going out Saturday. The wedding, I think, is on Monday, and then we're flying back Tuesday.
Okay. Well, that's
plan
exciting.
Plan is to see David Copperfield the night when we get in.
He's still around, huh?
Yeah. Of course he's still around.
Okay. It's like one of those things where you go in the Wayback Machine when
Never seen him. Never seen David Copperfield.
I've heard the name, and I've seen
was I mean, the I've Blue seen him Man. On television. I've never seen him in person.
It always throws me off whenever I'm in Vegas, and it's like, oh, the Blue Man Group's still a thing. I mean, they're like on the side of like some skyscraper in Vegas.
And Donnie and Marie are still there at the Flamingo last time.
It just shows me that I am not their target demo.
Seems like some group that should have aged out like 10 years ago, but
they never age.
They never age out.
They paint their face. You can't tell how old they are.
It's like Kiss.
They blew themselves.
They could be, well done, they could be on their fourth or fifth generation. We have no idea.
Nicky Valvano told me a great story about when he was up in Madison Square Garden as a kid, and there was like his mom was freaking out about, you know, being in Times Square. It's like, it's a terrible place, and Bob had to reassure them that everything's fine. Times Square it's not what you're thinking from the 70s. It's better.
Right.
And then a Kiss concert let out.
Oh, no.
And everyone had their pace fader, like Gene Simmons and Kiss members, and Nick was terrified of it. It was a great story that he was told me by. Like, he was still like, he was getting cold chills and the sweats talking about that. So, yeah.
Speaking
Kiss My Anthea was here last night.
We got a pretty good Kiss concert at our home last night, I think.
If you live in the corridor by the zoo or off Trevilian Way, I could hear faintly, not as well, over by Bowman Field. I could hear it faintly.
I could hear it pretty well inside the house. Luckily, it didn't wake Eliza. We were worried. I was worried about that.
She's good during fireworks, right? A Kiss concert with the pyrotechnics isn't going to bother her.
No, it wasn't the pyrotechnics. It was just straight them. I mean, you couldn't tell what exactly they were saying, but you could hear it.
Need to see like somebody with a GoPro in the aftermath of what they find in that field after a Kiss concert.
Holy cow. I mean, no talent. Look at the lineup last night. Kiss, Alice Cooper. I mean,
feel like it should be Toy Tiger Night at Louder Than Life, it sounds like. Or Jim Porter's.
Well, Jim Porter's,
that's
yes.
Their primary demo right there.
That sounds about right at this juncture. Who knows what was out there? But sounded like a big show. A lot going on yesterday. The Bats game, U of L football, Louder Than Life, all kinds of stuff. Do we start with Cards football?
Let's start
Cats
there.
Football?
Yes, let's start there. It's been a while since we've been all the tripod has been back together on that. But as Spencer and I were giving takes before the show, Louisville did what they needed to do.
Yeah, 41. I mean, a dominant performance, 41-3, as you mentioned, did what they needed to do. And we talked about it last week. You couldn't lose this game. They didn't, and they were dominant, which I think is a good sign. It is a South Florida team. I don't think Florida's great, but they did almost beat Florida last week, had a shot at it. So played right with Florida, and then came in to Cardinal Stadium and took an absolute butt-kicking yesterday. Both sides of the ball forced some turnovers. Defensively, the Cards did. Obviously, Malik Cunningham was in rare form yesterday on the offensive side of the ball. Louisville ran it all day. They ran for 283 yards. Tyon Evans back in there looked really good in more limited work, kind of easing him back in. But basically any running back they went with yesterday was pretty effective. I think Jawar Jordan's been a little bit of a revelation the last couple of weeks. Good to see him continuing to run it well. And Travion Cooley, we saw him a lot last year, but he ran the ball really well. And
Cooley did some good things.
He did. I mean, everybody did yesterday, I think. There's obviously things you can nitpick. I think you can every game. There are some throws that you'd probably like to see Malik put more on the money. The one touchdown pass he did have, obviously Jalen Carter made a really nice diving catch on that ball, and I think that was a pretty well-thrown ball from Malik, a tad out in front of him, but that was solid. So all in all, yeah, I mean, I don't know that there's a whole lot of negatives you can take from this game. I know the line is going to be, well, South Florida's no good, whatever, that's fine, but you took care of business, held serve at home.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on that. Like, you don't want to overreact to this game, but they did what they needed to do against a team that, you know, it's not, who was it, Warner, that Sam uses, they beat 98-0. They're a group of six type of school that is, they're not what they were 15 years ago.
No, they almost beat Florida last week.
But they did what they needed they needed to do. Now, I don't want to be too critical. I think at this point, and Mark brought this up on the postgame show, Malik is who he is. You know what I mean? He's going to overthrow some people. I can't be too critical of that because they scored on both of those drives where he overthrew the folks on that. And that's going to happen.
We talked about that last week. He is who he is.
But again, in good company, Malik Cunningham becomes the eighth FBS player to throw for 8,000 yards and rush for 3,000 in his career. That list includes Colin Kaepernick, Jalen Hurts, JT Barrett of Ohio State, Brad Smith, not BYU for those Key and Peele fans out there, but in fact, Missouri, Quinn Flowers and Lamar Jackson from Louisville. And I think when you're looking at just the game, like we were talking about this week, there was going to be no scenario in which people were, and I think it was indicative on the postgame show. You said it out there, like you and Mark kind of looked at each other and weren't getting a ton of reaction. Listenership was still good. I looked at the streaming numbers, but again, it was a business-like effort against what they need to do. They were 2 touchdown point favorites against South Florida, and they took care of business with that. And you got some young guys in that you needed to. Now, I will push back a little bit because I don't want to overreact to it. You've seen wins like this throughout Scott Satterfield's entire time here. He takes care of business against inferior opponents when it's that. So
from what I've heard the first few weeks, this wasn't an inferior opponent. This should have been level playing field based on what everyone said the first 3 weeks of the season.
Well, these are the type of teams that Scott Satterfield has had.
These are the type of teams that I would believe Louisville is based on the reaction to the first 3 weeks of the season.
Fair, but I'll say, I want to see, for me personally, for Satterfield to get a bigger win than this on the schedule.
We needed the blowout, though.
They did what they needed to do. It was a business, like, take care of business. They lunch pail and they took it to the factory and they did what they needed to do.
If it had been a close win, like, it's a win nonetheless, but if it was close, it's like that 2018, who was at Indiana State, they played very close. I know weather was a factor, but it's like
you played a very close game.
It's like, it's a win, but you know there's a lot of issues on this team. And last,
like four delays in that game, too.
Yeah, I remember. Awful. That game took forever.
I'll never forget that walk that I made back to the studio. Yeah. That was one for the ages, and it, in fact, became the Cooper mixtape cover right there in the middle of campus where it was up to his kneecaps and water. But go ahead, Spencer.
No, but like I said, the blowout win was what you needed to do. BC's another team struggling. Florida State took care of business yesterday. You should win that game, too, you would hope. And then Virginia, they gave Syracuse a good game, but at the end of the day, Virginia's another team. And I don't want to go too far ahead, but she's like, you got to win these games to buy back any sense of hope from a majority of the fan base that's made their decision up that, you know, Sat's not the guy they want to move on from Sat. Start last week. Just keep it going. Keep winning. And slowly but surely, like we've established before, winning cures all.
You're going to get opportunities in the next four games. Should take care of business. Neuter, ACC Network, Boston College next week, Virginia, Pitt, and Wake Forest. Obviously a crazy game in Wake Forest and Clemson yesterday for those that were watching that. And then after that, James Madison, who for those that were scoring at home.
James Madison's pretty good.
Beat App State yesterday.
We talked about it last week. You get through at BC next week, at Virginia the following week, and then a bye week, and then it's on. The schedule turns very difficult the rest of the season. You don't really have a breather after the bye week. It's Pitt, Wake, James Madison, Clemson, NC State, Kentucky. All those are tough. All those are games you could lose. All those are games you could, in my opinion, win. Others have different. That's my point. Louisville comes out and wins 41-3 yesterday. And I just think the way people react to games over the first 3 weeks of the season, by and large, you would believe that Louisville wasn't capable of winning a game by that against anybody on the schedule. So that's what I think is a positive. That's obviously not what I believe, but that's the way the reaction turns so quickly is, you know, last week we're not gonna there's not another win on the schedule. There's people saying that. So I do think it was good to go out and take care of business, not win it close. Because if you win close, like Spencer said, there's obviously there's a lot of doubts from people and what have you. It was a good, decisive, no doubt about it win. The defense was dominant too. They held USF to what, 158 total yards, outgained them 542 to 158, forced three turnovers. I mean,
I did enjoy the down 28-0 when the Bulls players were giving L's downs. Did you see that?
Well, you have to.
It's a thing. It's so wonderful.
I'm just looking at the box score right now. The punter, because of that penalty that he took on that whatever that weird punt, he has negative 22 rushing yards for the game.
That's awesome.
That's tough. And they got pressure on the quarterback too, I thought, defensively. I mean, everything that, you know, we've talked about wanting to see.
They rotated a bunch of guys in and out. You got to see some of the young players that they've been clamoring for, that when many fans have been frustrated with the defense, this was the type of win, to Spencer's point, that gives you the opportunity to see some of those said backup players that you have been clamoring to see. So, again, did what they needed to do. I think it's an interesting approach that throughout the week, because we always talk about this, and I call it the cycle of, you know, upset. Kind of can talk yourselves into some wins by Friday, but Monday or even our show on Sunday, people are getting upset that the performance is out there. Now, we live in a society, and I think that people are going to be more critical and negative after a loss versus giving their praises after a win. Hence, probably why you and Ennis had a shorter post-game show yesterday, because there wasn't anything to complain about, really. You know what I mean? That's something that's out there.
That, and also, you know, early game, because I also was on the board for Kentucky Youngstown State, another game where Kentucky took care of business, and you didn't have much interaction because it's like you did what you're supposed to do. It's a lesser opponent, and I know USF's a group of five young.
We've been doing this long enough to where we know that when you take care of business and you get a win and blow them out, there's just not as much interaction from that. The streaming numbers are still there, but in terms of interaction with people calling in and things like that, it dips a little bit because there's nothing to complain about.
I think that's the best sign from the win, is that silence speaks a lot, and you did enough to cause people to not call with the same complaints from the first few weeks, which I think is good.
And I don't want to necessarily do this show right now, because I think we need to get in the habit, and I'm guilty of this as well, of just reacting to the game and not the overall, you know, tenure of Scott Satterfield, because ultimately things will happen.
It's the reason it's a discussion is because it's what people deem a make or break year.
Exactly.
And that's unfortunate for him and everyone
involved. And that's what I think people kind of flock back to. But it's been fascinating to listen to the approach. And I agree with both, because I've heard Andy talk about how you can – we talk about this when you get the college football bug and you see yourselves mentioned in the top four for a little bit, going back to the Lamar Jackson here, get your bingo card out. I know I bring this up weekly. And then it goes from that to, oh, let's just get to New Year's Six. And then that goes like, let's get the 9 wins. And now this year it's, hey, let's just get the 6 wins. So I can listen to that approach, but listen to Ennis on some of the things that – he had talked about on the post-game show and the drive throughout the week, is that you just want to – you kind of want to be careful that – and I don't want to – and stay with me, because I don't want to compare Louisville to Tennessee or Nebraska, because Spencer even told me in the pre-show meeting that Nebraska hasn't been the Nebraska of old his entire life, because I think they've been wandering this wilderness to try and get back to the glory days for so long. Not comparing Louisville to that. But you see when you just make a quick switch and not give the guy enough time to get his guys in there, it's a vicious cycle of you're constantly trying to find the next Scott Satterfield, and it could be the next Scott Satterfield.
And you become a joke, and you dig yourself a bigger hole than maybe you otherwise would. That happened to Tennessee, I think. It's fair to say that happened to Tennessee. Instead of sort of sticking with it a couple of times, pretty quick on the trigger, and I know there are plenty of jokes about Butch Jones and whatever, but you know, they were searching and ended up finally hitting on Josh Heupel. Obviously, I think he's really good, and they're a very entertaining team to watch, and they've figured it out, but it took a while. It took a while to get there.
But to the point, and Ennis had a guy on it, and I'm drawing a blank on his name. He's in Nashville. He covers kind of the business of college football. But it was fascinating to me to hear how an outsider kind of viewed this job, though. So on the other side of that coin, this is a sleeping giant is what this outsider is. He's talking to some people, some administrators and agents inside the world. So if it doesn't work out with Saturday, and I'm not trying to have that discussion today, the quicker results, he thinks that it could happen quicker than some are leading on with Satterfield needing more time. But it's just two interesting approaches, and I think both can be right. You know, that's kind of the overall discussion for that. So
sure.
Don't necessarily want to go down that wormhole today, but I think it's very interesting to see how everyone is viewing the win from yesterday, taking care of business. Now you get into a stretch of ACC games that they should compete with. I've seen some Sagarin ratings in which I think they're, you know, favored at a couple, the 2-point underdog to Pitt, so essentially a pick 'em that could change by that. And so there's going to be opportunities to make some noise, but to get to year four, you have to make people buy in and beat some of these ranked opponents consistently. Like, Satterfield has no problem beating the South Floridas of the world during his time here, but you need to take care of business against some folks that you deem as superior than in the ACC.
Yeah, we'll see. Obviously, they're 0-2 in the ACC right now. It is a tough spot because every game is every game that doesn't, where something doesn't go well and they either lose or don't win by in a way that people want to see them win becomes a referendum on the job and the coach and everything. And that's kind of what it is this year. But we talked about it, took care of business yesterday, and a big 3-game stretch they're in the midst of. Yesterday was the first game. Going to Boston College next week, and then Virginia the following week. Two games that you'll be favored in. And, you know, two games, if you can get them, then you would be, 4-2 at the halfway mark of the season with the last six after a bye week against a really good schedule. So, opportunities there. That's the other side of it. You have opportunities to get some good wins. Basically, the entire back part of the schedule affords you those chances. And I think yesterday was a great step forward. The defense played great. The offense played great. They put it together in the same game, which is something we maybe haven't seen this year. I think, you know, the defense was dominant against UCF, but the offense wasn't quite there. Against Florida State, the offense, I thought, took a step forward. Defensively, not as good as obviously they'd been against UCF, playing a better team probably in Florida State. But they put it all together yesterday. They had a dominant performance on both sides of the ball, and I don't know what more you could ask for out of that game yesterday. That's exactly what you wanted to see, and it's what you saw, and so see if they can carry it forward to Boston College next week.
Wayne, we'll get to you here in a second. Without further ado, here was Scott Satterfield's opening statements coming up as I have something else potted up, and I'm turning it off right now, so feel free to play that right now.
A little Spencer. Entrance music for Scott right Satterfield.
Scott Satterfield met with members of the media here yesterday as we are running a well-oiled machine here on ESPN 680. That is not Spencer's fault. That is mine. I think we had Rocky music playing in the background. Here's what he had to say after the win.
I think, first of all, a lot of respect for South Florida and Coach Scott and his team. You know, what they did last week down in the swamp, really handled Florida, I thought. You know, you think about their running back had 150 yards, the quarterback rushed for over 100. We wanted to come in here and stop the run and make them one-dimensional. And it started in practice on Tuesday. Our guys were very focused and very intent on having a good week of practice. Coming off a disappointing loss, you know, with Florida State. And credit to them, you know, because – it's easy just to, you know, still feel sorry for yourself and not want to come back in here and work and think, oh, man, we're 0-2 in the conference. Like, what are we going to do? But to their credit, they came back in and worked hard and put together a really nice complete game today. I thought defensively we did not give up the big plays. And, offensively and defensively, we didn't shoot ourselves in the foot as far as penalties go. We only had five. The two of them were right there at the end, Chris Bell on a face mask, the late hit on the kickoff team. So you're looking at three penalties throughout the whole day. We turned them over. Some really nice plays. We stopped the run and made them try to think they got to try to get back in it, try to force the ball down the field. We got some interceptions. Finally got our first fumble today. And then offensively, you know, not great on third down, but we made it up for it on fourth. We converted those fourth downs, and which enabled us to go down and score touchdowns. I thought we were pretty efficient in the red zone there. The one time we didn't get any points, you know, we went for it on fourth down. Ordinarily probably would kick it on that. Brock threw a slant to Chris Bell. And so it was good to get a lot of guys in the game today. You know, we played a lot of players, a lot of young guys got to play. I mentioned Chris Bell got his first catch. Bradley West got a catch. Grant Goodman got a carry there at the end. You know, we're playing guys on defense that hadn't played a ton. It was good to see the tackles spread out. You know, I think, you know, Dorian Jones may have led us in tackles, but I think a lot of guys had production. Yaya had another good game. He's been playing really good this year on defense. You know, kicking game was very solid. You know, we were a little concerned about 21 as a return guy, and Brock put it out of the end zone. I mean, he's done excellent this year with the touchbacks, which has been awesome. And then Mark Vassis really punted the ball well. He punted again today, outstanding. I think over 44 average maybe. And, you know, so, you know, you got to be able to win those special teams. And so just overall proud of our guys. It was a complete game. And, you know, looking forward to, you know, putting this one to bed and then focusing on BC.
Scott Satterfield post-game after taking down USF. Nick Kern, Phil Baker, Spencer Brown here. Sunday morning hangover. A couple texts coming down. Geez, Cards win and you guys still try and down it. Had they struggled, you'd be bashing them. I think all three of us said, Yeah, Nick Curran, he is the snake bitten king over here. Look, I've tried to say they took care of business. All three of us said, good win from the standpoint, don't want to overreact to it, but a good win against an inferior opponent that they needed to take care of business for. I don't think there's anything around that. And Nick and Spencer have said similar things, if not nicer than what I
was,
just said.
And if you were listening to me say, I was basically satirizing the people that over the first 3 weeks of the season said Louisville's awful, and so I that's what I was saying when I said, well, according to a lot of folks, this was a team that they were on equal
people
footing.
People hear what they want to hear.
Yeah, I know. But Satterfield made some points there, getting a lot of guys in the game. They essentially, don't want to say took their foot off the gas in the second half, but got a lot of guys in there, so kind of did, which makes it all the more impressive, I think, that they were able to do what they did. And yeah, I think it's a solid all around win and exactly what you wanted to see yesterday, and that's a positive. And again, see if they can move it forward to next week. And one other thing. There were people, and I think it was mentioned last week on the show following the Florida State game. I don't remember who, but I believe it was mentioned that some people thought there was some kind of giving up or whatever the case may be. Again, people bring that stuff up. I think you can put all that to bed as well. There's nothing from yesterday's game that you can take like that.
Well,
so,
and I'll say, I mean, we've been fortunate enough to interact with Paul Rogers now with our new partnership with Learfield. And I mean, he's around every Monday and every Friday with Drew and Bob. And I mean, that's something that he's harped in on. It's like when it's not cliche when he says these guys kind of put up their blinder. They have no idea of, I'm sure they get a sense to a certain extent of some of the negativity where they probably see the announced attendance of 41,000, which was generous yesterday. But I mean, look, the U, 5 national championship. Do you see what that crowd looks like last night? I think people just need to stop comparing Louisville football to the A&Ms and Alabamas of the world in terms of attendance. It ain't that. Like, it's an urban school that has a base, and when things are going really well in the Clemsons and Notre Dames of the world,
well, I mean, that's
Florida
the thing.
State, like, it's massive. But
let's be honest, yesterday's game, even if Louisville beats Florida State last Friday night, yesterday's crowd isn't going to be great. It's a noon game on a Saturday with Louder Than Life going. Like, we've seen it over the years here. It doesn't matter how well things are going. Yesterday's going to be a challenge because it's a noon game on a day with a lot going on here.
Yeah. No,
it is. And it's the way it is. There would have been more people, but I don't know how many more.
You all know I listen to Levitard and company all the time, and this was a hot topic for their big Miami fans down there.
Sure.
And one of their main guys who's an absolute honk when it comes to some of these things, he even said it's like, he went to the Texas A&M Miami game, and he says, Miami is not that. He even called out Louisville, you were in good company, Louisville fans, where it said, hey, like, I've seen the Louisville crowds. I've seen some of the Florida State crowds. I've seen the crowds when, you know, things are going great here. Yeah, exactly. You get 40,000. It's not yes, I know people, when the silos were up, want to coin the term a college town, but this is a city with other things going on, and I just think people need to come to the conclusion and quite cope with the fact that on big games, you will get some massive turnouts for that. But for inferior opponent, it is what it is. You got a solid base of about 30 to 40,000 that will be out there for some of the bigger games. The rest are probably going to be in the party deck or watching the game in the parking lot.
And noon kicks.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Like,
no,
it's nothing.
No.
It's just, it is
no,
what it
but
is.
But noon kicks, while I love them, and a lot of people love them, attendance-wise, probably going to be conducive to a struggle. Unless it is the absolute top-tier opponent. It is what it is. We've seen it how many years here.
I left at halftime yesterday. People know what I do. Yeah. We got to dive into that, by the way. Oh. Me, Sweeney, and Coop. We get in. Let's just leave it at that. We had a good time yesterday. Till halftime, because you know I leave.
All right, 267-9680, the phone number. Wayne, first up here on ESPN 680 at 105.7. What's up, Wayne?
What's up, Wayne? How are you?
Man, good morning, gents. How y'all doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very well whenever I can talk to you guys.
Man.
It was a good win yesterday, very much needed. And like you've all alluded to earlier, we have to keep it in perspective. They did what they had to do. And I was telling Spence, this season is topsy-turvy, as we saw what happened to Oklahoma in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And we saw what happened to Miami against Middle Tennessee. So anything can happen on a given day. Anybody can get beat. There's only really three teams that look totally dominant. Of course, Alabama and who's the other?
Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia and Ohio State.
Ohio State's been really good, no doubt.
Right. But everybody else, I mean, they're good. You can look at the scores. Michigan struggled yesterday. And then I got a buddy down in Lexington. He's always giving me grief. And I told him, I said, y'all weren't that impressive against NIU. I said, wait till y'all play a real team. And Mississippi's going to give you all you want. So we'll see then, because y'all don't played anybody. You know, Kentucky's Pendant has been to schedule those guaranteed wins, which they do every year. They give them three or four, maybe five wins, and then they take the chances with the others. But we shall see. But that was a good win for Louisville, and they should be able to build on that. And after looking at the film and saw what they did after they gave the Florida State game away, you just can't do that. You must execute and do what you need to do and quit all these stupid penalties, because they will get you beat every time. And that's all I'm going to say on that, guys. And then I'm looking forward to the basketball season. It should be good. Everybody's belly aching about the guards. But the system Kenny Payne's going to play is going to be the pro system. And anybody that is capable to bring the ball up court will do that. You don't need traditional point guards or two guards or what have you. The system, because case in point, his system is going to be very similar to Florida State, which gives us fits. They don't have 6'1 or 6'2 point guard, 6'6, 6'7 guard forwards. And that's what they utilize, and that's what we're going to do. But Nick and crew, you know what I think about you guys. Y'all the best. And you know what we always say at the end of the day, fellas? Go Cards. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Wayne.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Love
Wayne.
Every time. Can't beat it. Always brightens my day to hear Wayne's voice.
He needs to be our hype man.
Yeah. Well.
Just a beacon of just, they just get you, he might get you ready to go.
He might be too good to
put
be
him on,
our hype
put
man.
Him on retainer. So, yeah.
Well, no. That's right. Nice win yesterday. It has been a fairly topsy-turvy season. You know, K-State goes to Norman and beats Oklahoma last night. Miami takes a loss at home against MTSU. You know, even Georgia, I mean, I don't think Georgia's really in trouble against Kent State, but didn't blow them out the way some people probably would have expected.
Oregon State USC was a very close game.
Oregon State USC, very close game. We saw Oregon struggle for a while, I believe, at Wazoo.
Yeah, Washington State.
Yeah, and we saw, we saw Texas Tech knock off Texas in overtime at home. I don't know if that's a massive upset. We saw A&M at Jerry World able to defeat Arkansas.
Crazy ending
it
to that
sure
game.
Was.
Boy,
it
I've
sure
never
was.
Seen anything like that. We can dive into that and what else is going on, but that just a wild sequence of events that happened to lead to the
no
doink.
No doubt about it.
I don't even know. Is that called a doink when it hits the top of the...
I don't know.
I don't even know what you
know.
Call that.
The very top of the upright. It happened earlier this season too in like a Wyoming game or something. I've never seen it. Hadn't really seen it before yesterday.
I've seen a ball. There was a New England Ravens game a few years ago where Tucker sailed over the upright.
Yeah.
But never
seen that.
And I've never seen like doink off.
By the way, Joe Tess gets crushed a lot for his time on Monday Night Football, and I know everyone's compared to Joe Buck and everything. I thought he did a great job explaining that.
Sure.
By just letting it sit for a second, then explaining it after seeing the replay, as a broadcast nerd, I enjoyed Joe Test calling that. I know that's not a popular opinion for most around here, but I thought he did a good job.
Definitely right on top of that yesterday, watching it live, and what was, I don't know that it was a confusing situation because the ball bounces off, but still.
Until you see the replay, I was confused. I didn't know if it went over or if it like just plopped straight down at first glance. No, so until they showed the replay, I was lost on what happened.
Yeah, it was definitely different. So crazy way for that game to end. Jimbo Fisher gets a huge win over Arkansas yesterday. We probably have to hit a break, right? All right, 267-9680, the phone number.
I mean, he's over
that's
here.
Right.
Yeah, you take a break.
Sharpshooters coming up. Yeah, 437-9680, the UPS Jobs text line. It's the Sunday Morning Hangover. Oh, man. We'll come back with more on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Can you play this on here? Is that allowed?
Why?
Well, just, you know, there. I feel like this song maybe has some negative connotation to some folks around here.
There's an interesting bit. If you go to the Wikipedia page.
Oh,
song,
that totally went over my head. That's a throwback for you.
First thing I thought of.
Wow,
I'm
good
not
on
familiar
you.
With that, but I know on Wikipedia is a bit where it's like this song became popular because like a radio station in Louisville kept playing this song over and over, and that's why it's popular.
No, well, there was a radio station in Louisville that kept playing this over and over. There's
well
doubt
done
about
by
that.
You. I had the little fills inside my head with they were on the treadmill, they were taking a break, and then they started getting on the treadmill again when, Nick, the synapses weren't firing off is when Lachlan McLean would say right there. Oh, that's good by you. Give me some bare knucks of that.
That's
inside baseball, but that'll be chapter 47 of my tell-all book when it eventually comes
it's
out.
Extremely inside baseball, but I feel like a lot of people are going to know that.
Going to paint your face and go
Bill
out there?
Says it's a blind spot for me.
We'll talk to you at the post show. We'll do it on the unfiltered podcast.
We'll let you know during the post show meeting what that means.
Would you ever paint your face like Gene Simmons, either of you?
No.
No.
I could see Spencer do it. Nick, no chance.
I've been to a Kiss concert once because my uncle's like, you got to see them live once. And they're good. They're good live, yeah.
I mean, I would imagine. There's fire. There's
fire. I'm not even like the biggest Kiss fan, but I would never paint my face now.
Makes me think of the arena football team that they used to have.
Yeah, if I had to, I would go with like the mask that Grandma had in Happy Gilmore.
Okay. Yeah. No, Gene Simmons had the crazy tongue. I would probably go like the kid from Role Models, McLovin, he's like has the cat. You kind of give me McLovin vibes, Spencer.
I have been told back my old glasses pair I used to wear that I look like McLovin.
And I mean that as an absolute compliment. I'm not trying to throw it, but you should, I think.
Oh, he's a legend.
Yeah, you should definitely. I feel like it's
a Hawaiian organ donor.
I feel like if
he doesn't even have a last name.
I feel like if you had a fake ID with that, it could be a nice pickup line for you, too, by the way. Just, you know, you never know. It's like, it's not Striebel saying that he was wearing a Tim Couch Browns jersey one time, and this girl actually thought he was Tim Couch. It's not zero to that. If you've seen Tim Couch lately, the dude's just absolutely jacked. Spencer, I feel like that could be a good avenue for you. I want to revisit this at one point.
Somebody thought Striebel was Tim Couch.
I think she was a few Limeritas in.
All right.
Just a few.
Couple?
Couple,
if you're Striebel, you gotta play that off, right?
No, he absolutely leaned into it. That's exactly.
You have to.
I am Tim Couch.
Tim Couch vetoed a lot. What's all those stammering and stutterings there? What is that? His pocket fell apart. That's what
coming up Monday on The Take with Andy Sweeney and Tim Couch.
Got a nice jingle. Tim Couch on the field last night at Kroger Field, by the way.
I would have more respect for Striebel if he had a Tim Couch Jags jersey than a Tim Couch Browns jersey. I knew a guy in Bowling Green that I went to college with who had a Tim Couch Jags jersey, which I thought was impressive because where did that even come from?
I just love, that's a rare find right there. I love the fact that that girl in that moment thought it's kind of like that's the only wardrobe Tim Couch would have.
Just the jersey.
He wears it everywhere. He's like Mario Lopez's AC Slater on Homecoming Week.
Was this like recently or pretty long ago?
Oh, God, this is college.
Yeah, okay.
He should have leaned into
it. Like when he was playing for the Browns, Tim Couch, not Striebel.
Yes. Yeah.
Sure. I was asked if I was Vince Tyree.
I can see that.
Right when he was getting hired.
I could definitely see a younger Vince Tyree.
Do you remember Jake Lorem, who wrote for the Courier Journal?
He's with some baseball site now, isn't he?
I don't.
Or did he used to be. Now you're going to go down that wormhole. That's great, though. That's a wonderful story.
He was the football beat writer for the Courier Journal, and he's a contributor at 538, actually. Jake is currently. And for 538 and the Washington Post Sports.
Ah, Neil Greenberg stomping ground.
Yes, that's where Jake is. I was walking out of the...
He has big Washington Post vibes.
Yeah, for sure. I was walking out of the Kieber Center. And because I think I'd watched women's basketball practice, and he said it was right around the time when Vince was getting hired, like they had come out that he was going to be the guy to be the interim athletic director, and he said, "Are you Vince?" And I said, "No."
You know what this makes me think of? The Manti Te'o story of how journalism fell through the cracks on that. You should have totally leaned into that.
No, I'm not going to lean
and
into that.
And you could have just
the
gotten
guy's
gone
just
on
trying
the
to do his job.
And just, yeah.
Some like off the wall quote.
How embarrassing would that be?
Yes, I am Big Blue Vince.
Oh, no.
By the way, he was sitting in a couple rows by us at the game yesterday, looking good. My man looked like him, Kenny Klein. Well, Kenny Klein was tailgating, but just looked like...
No, good for Kenny.
Weightlifted, don't have to, you know, just loving retired life. Good on them. Nice seats, though, by the way.
I would imagine. Good for Kenny. A little tailgating. That's something he hasn't gotten to do. Normally sitting in the second row of the press box in a suit.
He was not wearing a suit yesterday. He was rocking some Ultra Boost.
All right. Love it. Not that you can't do that with a suit. I don't think that was Kenny's move, but, you know, that's something you could do. People do.
I'm getting some confirmation. It was his senior trip that Strebel was wearing the couch jersey.
Okay, all right.
He also got pantsed on the same trip from the anonymous texter.
Oh, boy.
But he made out with her in the art museum. So, Tim Couch did score.
I think this last bit might be trolling. I'm not entirely sure.
I trust the source. I'll just leave it at that.
Not that, yeah, more than Tim Couch did in the NFL.
Do we want to get to some text and some more Sat sound? I got Malik sound. I got Satterfield sound. You tell me where you want to go.
We've got a lot of text messages coming in. We can get to that, too.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to do.
No, you read some off, and then I'll get some sound ready.
Do you think Josh Hurd looks down 64 and takes a huge gamble and rides with Satterfield on a new contract because it worked out for Kentucky sticking with their guy? Maybe. That isn't it. We've brought that up before. Kentucky did stick with Mark Stoops through, I'm not going to say they were terrible, but...
They were terrible early on, yes.
Well, early on they were terrible, but they were terrible before Stoops, and so they kind of had to ride through it. I think that it was a slow build, fair to say there, and they did stick with it, and much to the... Well, they were mocked by a lot of people for it, but now they've kind of come out on the other end with the last laugh, I think.
Well, I think that speaks to a larger discussion of how I think Mitch and John Calipari probably butt heads a little bit because Cal is just go, 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 whereas Mitch Barnhart is a conservative, you know, investment type of let it. You know, I'm not going to short stock and do crypto and things like that. I'm going to put something in a Roth IRA,
yeah,
let
sensible.
It go over 30 years.
Smart move right now. The stock market not doing great.
So that's
a smart way to be right now.
But I think that's the approach for that. But again, we go back to it. I think it's a fantastic point that Andy's brought up multiple times. It's like once you get the college football big time bug, it's hard to get away from that. And you expect instant results too. Sorry, Spencer,
the instant success that Satterfield had year one, going 8-5 ACC Coach of the Year.
He said it 100 times.
Has
Nick's
been. In a way, somewhat of a detriment to some
fans. Yeah, it's
fans.
Been he's been his own worst enemy by having a great year one. Because I think if that didn't happen, everything else has been on like an upward trajectory. But that first year changed that. Everything's great and wonderful now. Go on and give Satty and Brown extensions.
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying they did what they needed to do against an inferior opponent, but yet they need to have bigger wins on the schedule, and you're going to have the opportunity to do that. Until they do that, people are not going to give this win the credit that maybe it deserves. Unfortunately, that's kind of the lay of the land with the Louisville fan base right now.
Shouldn't we expect these first-year coaches that are at big-name schools to have losses? They're rookies. Yeah, I mean... I think it's not out of bounds for Brent Venables to lose a game and for Mario Cristobal to lose a game. But the climate in which we live, I think I'm in the minority on that. And I don't know if that's tongue-in-cheek from the texter. I hope it's not, because, yeah, I think it's something that happens. Hour number two next.
You're locked on the Sunday Morning Hangover on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Nick Curran and Phil Baker.
Hour number two of the Sunday Morning Hangover here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Thanks for being with us. Great to be in studio. Don't get to do this very often this time of year.
Ah, the old tripod, back at it.
Spencer Brown, he's Phil Baker. I'm Nick Curran. Spent most of the first hour talking about Louisville football once we get past, like, Louder Than Life and Netflix and whatever else we had.
Got to get through this. Boy, I was the most popular person in the DMs yesterday for that Bally Sports.
Sure,
man.
You were.
I was, boy.
You know what I did? I just turned it on my television.
Well, you know what? I have folks that have cable.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't log into their thing when they're trying to tailgate and watch it, so I'll just leave it at that. I'm just saying.
Why are we tailgating and watching it?
Because
aren't you at the game? Why do you need to watch it if you're at the game?
You don't deserve to watch the game. We established this. This is what happens.
I know, but if you're there, go in. If you're like, man, I'd really like to watch the game. If you're at the game, just go into the game. That's how you watch it.
I don't think so. Hey, coming up after us, Colts and Chiefs, 12 o'clock, ESPN 680, 105.7, then a little Chargers and Jaguars, 4:30. Need to figure out what I'm going to do with Justin Herbert right there in fantasy.
Because yeah,
it's got like a torn, fractured rib or something. Need to talk to our friends over at U of L Health and see what the fantasy pick should be for that, because it looks like I'm either going
to... Who's his backup? Do you just want to go with the backup?
He has a broken back, so you can do the math there. So it's Jameis Winston is my backup, so I'm not... Well,
no,
you're
I was talking about Justin Herbert.
Oh, for personal...
Daniel. Isn't it?
He's talking about actual Justin Herbert's backup quarterback that you could maybe pick up on the waiver.
After that, Broncos 49ers, 7:30, ESPN 680, then Ravens and Patriots presented by our good friends over at Liquor Barn and Kelly Jobs at 12:30, 93.9 The Ville, and Bucks at Panthers, 4:30, 93.9 The Ville. If you're driving around, we got you covered. Wall-to-wall coverage of the NFL. It's like an NFL red zone if you're driving around. Kind of like yesterday with college football, too. I had the Louisville when I was left at halftime, because it's what I do. Yeah. I had Paul on 93.9, but I was like, oh, this Clemson and Wake game's getting interesting. I had that via Westwood 1 on 680, and then after that, you got to sprinkle in a little Texas Tech and a little hook 'em with Texas and then A&M and Arkansas. We got you covered with play-by-play on ESPN Louisville between 680 and 93.9.
Looks like I'm starting Jimmy Garoppolo today.
I got a feeling he's going to play well just because of some of the incentives that he has lined up for that.
He has some incentives, baby. He has some incentives.
Did you knock out everything on the text line that you wanted to?
No, well, 437-9680, the UPS Jobs text line. The Brom crowd can now go sit in a corner and be quiet. He's not looking any much better than Sat.
I mean, like, it's just always going to be there. You just have to accept that that's always going to be there. Yes, the end of that game, they got lucky. Was it a fumble or pick at the end? I was watching. I stepped away, and they were down two. And as I left the room for a second, thinking then they were in a TV timeout, I saw that Purdue got the ball, run the other way, and then slid down. But I wasn't sure if it was a pick or a fumble. But they pulled away in their throwback unis.
All right. 437-9680. Texter says, pretty sure it was in D.C. on a high school trip, and Big Rig was a senior or something.
Yeah, that's what the person.
All right. So
the source
confirms. Corroborated. All right. Kenny Klein and David Padgett were on my flight to Miami on September 9th. Any relevance?
Is that, you know what? That may have been Vinny Goodtime's birthday.
Okay.
I think it was his 50th birthday. Vinny Tatum from Focus and Ricky
Pease. That feels like it's right in line.
He had a 50th birthday, and I think they probably went down for that. I don't know. It could be wrong. Pure speculation.
437-9680. USF might be the worst team in FBS. I doubt that.
This USF team came in 4-21 under Jeff Scott. Bad. The game did nothing. They should have beat them 73-0. Empty stadium. Apathetic fans are over. Fake celebration in the locker room. SMH done. I was at the game yesterday and the crowd was bored. Apathetic. These are the final days of the bad coach. See, I think that is the minority of
this team could have come in 4-0 and it still would have had the same reaction.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I just don't think you're going to get a super fired up crowd for that game yesterday regardless. Another texter said, Vince Tyree looks like a chipmunk. Nick looks like a mole. Is that the resemblance of what you speak? Maybe. That might be what Jake saw.
Need to do one of those like face filters on Snapchat, which I know you do not have, so nope. I don't want to go down that wormhole.
Because I don't really know what that means completely.
They're stealing your data or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. They are stealing your data. It goes straight to the Chinese government. So be careful what you're doing on TikTok. You guys have fun over there.
Got a good cooking recipe off there, though. So, boy, they get
TikTok.
Yeah. Oh man, Ennis
not,
always
not Pinterest.
Ennis always sends me these little, these little 15-second or 30-second little videos of like, oh, this is how you marinate and barbecue. So yeah, is Ennis texting into the bat phone says that texter is a moron. So I agree
not using NyQuil right for marinating the chicken.
I saw that. Oh, that's boy. A whole thing right there. But look, I think. Ennis brings up a point. That is a vocal minority of a person because I think people and fans will flock back in if they win. That is a win in which you took care of business yesterday, and I don't think you necessarily need to overreact one way or another, but had they lost, it would have been very vocal of the anger that was out there. They did not lose. You got to see some of the young guys out there, and I think that was something that you can take it and run with if you were a fan and maybe build off into the season because, like I said, when Ennis brought it up, like, it's a dangerous game when you start kind of rotating, hey, this isn't working after 3 or 4 years. Do you want to move on with that? Now, I think this is a make or break year. Obviously, we're all in agreement of that. But you hope for just the sake of just the program so you're not just kind of wandering in this wilderness for 20 years trying to get back to, oh, the Lamar Jackson days of when things – and granted, you could argue Bobby Petrino should have done way more with that team, but that's a discussion for another day. It's a dangerous game when you just keep trying to find the next up-and-coming guy, and it doesn't work. The next up-and-coming guy, and it doesn't work. And then you kind of become that program where it's like, yeah, it's kind of toxic there. And that's where I think some fans are, but again, he's got to – but have people buy back in with some big wins, and you're going to have the opportunity against some ranked opponents coming up, and you'd imagine with Wake Forest and Pitt being waked here soon.
And that's the saving grace with the season is that it's so backlow that if they were to go 6-6, 7-5, they would have to beat some good teams. Like, it's not going to be
no doubt about
a
it.
Tough. It's going to be tough to get there, but if they get there, you would feel some good about this team.
Here was Scott Satterfield's thoughts on the running backs. Nick alluded to this to open up the show. The running backs took care of business on this day, and they got to see a bunch of them get rotated in and out. Scott Satterfield very pleased with the running back room and how competitive it is.
Well, we're always going to try to utilize the backs in the throw game. Cooley last week had 4 catches, and we have good confidence in those guys to make plays in the passing game. And we really, really want to distribute the football. I think, want to try to spread the ball out with all our guys and including the running backs. And so today, Ford and, the backs caught the ball and Amara Huggins-Bruce had some nice plays and T. Huddy had some nice plays. And, so it's really good to kind of spread it around and distribute it. I thought we ran the ball good today again. Malik went over 100, I think, for the third straight week. It puts pressure on defenses when you're able to run like that with him. Hopefully it opens up the throw game. I thought he did a really nice job with the underneath passing game today. There were a lot of bend but don't break type coverage, and so he hit it underneath. I thought was good, and guys got some yak like that. And missed one on the we ran a just slant and go to Amari, and should have had a touchdown on that. We ended up scoring, but that would have been nice to hit that one. But I think we want to strip the football and spread it out.
Scott Satterfield on the running back play and some other positions that maybe haven't been firing all cylinders, as he alluded to. Malik Cunningham overthrew a couple guys, but I want it to be known that they did score on those drives. So that's something that some folks can kind of point to. Here is also Scott Satterfield on a roller coaster season thus far and how a game like this can build more confidence heading into some key games.
Yeah, I think so. I think it just proves if you go out and you don't beat yourselves and you got a great opportunity. South Florida's a team that, I think they got some ability and talent. They saw it last week, but to come out, we dominated the game. It was 28 first downs to 11 and a lot of yards to not very many. And I thought our guys were focused and played that way. It just proves you can do it. We just got to make that commitment each and every week to come out and stay focused on what we have the task at hand. I think you know, when we're like that, then it's more about us. It's more about us than whoever we're playing.
Scott Satterfield on getting back on track in a roller coaster season thus far. Granted, only four games in, but something to monitor. And one more to close it out on Sat. Here was him on Malik's play and just how dangerous he can be when other positions are taking care of business.
But, you know, he's a special player. I know he gets a lot of criticism at times. You know, he doesn't play great. But, I mean, here's the thing about this quarterback is the fact that the ball's in his hands a lot as far as running and throwing. And if you, you know, I don't even know what the average would be, but let's say 45 to 50 times a game where he's either running or throwing, he's not going to be perfect. Every one of those plays are not going to go exactly like you want it to go. We all want it to be that way, but it's not going to happen. And, you know, it seems like sometimes we focus on the four plays that didn't go that good as opposed to the other stuff that's outstanding. I mean, you know, go ask any defensive coordinator out there that faces them. I mean, they don't want to play against him. You know, because he puts so much pressure on the defense. But when he's dialed in and that thing is working good, he's as good as anybody in the country, you know, with the pressure that he can put on defenses. And so we're striving to be great. We're striving to be perfect in that regard. Probably won't ever get there. But if we can get pretty close, you know, he's going to be outstanding. And so the thing that we've got to keep doing is keep practicing, keep working, and keep getting better. And, hopefully he'll continue to play well. All right, thanks.
Thank you. All right. Scott Satterfield on how dangerous Malik Cunningham can be, and I think fans want to see this against some big-time name, not the Dukes and the South Florida. Granted, Dukes last year, the Dukes. Obviously, the basketball schools have figured it out this year. But look, I think people want to see Malik do this consistently, and I think with the records that he's beat at the eighth NCAA player throwing for 8,000 and rushing for 3, you know, there's going to be opportunities for him to kind of get back in the good graces of many fans because, yes, he did overthrow a couple balls there, but they did score on those drives.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that is a very fair point and a good one that when the ball's in his hand so much, which obviously it is, he's clearly the centerpiece of the offense, and things aren't always going to be perfect, but you hope you can get as close as possible and kind of roll from there. And again, yesterday's game, good all-around performance. I don't know that you could pick much apart from yesterday. The only thing you could do is say South Florida stinks, which, okay. If that's the take you want out of yesterday's game, that's fine, and we'll see what happens coming up in future weeks.
A couple more. Here's Malik Cunningham on joining Lamar in some records with the NCAA, throwing for 8,000 and rushing for 3. Maybe. Come on, Old Faithful.
Here he goes.
It's not responding. It's going.
Malik,
there he is.
Today you went over this barrier, Kent, where you're the eighth player in NCAA history to throw for 1,000 yards and run for 3,000, joining Lamar. What does that mean to you?
Just give credit to my teammates for opening up the holes for me and blocking downfield, because without them, I mean, I couldn't do a lot of those things. So I'm blessed to be in that position, and kudos to me, I guess.
Yes, kudos to you.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. All right, next up, Malik Cunningham on this team needing a win and what it can do to catapult the rest of the season.
Malik, how much did this team need a win like this, and what can it do for you guys moving forward?
We need this one bad. Like, we need all of them bad, but since this was the next one, it was a good win for us. And we just started something good. Come back, watch it tomorrow, and put it behind us, and get ready for we play BC. Yeah, get ready for Boston College, a good football team. So we got to come to work.
Lee Cunningham on getting ready for Boston College and taking care of business.
Very Tom Brady-like answer. I like
it. Yes, yeah, well, of course you do. So, okay, so there's that. And I think Brett McMurphy had some bold projections for those scoring at home, because, oh, you know, I love bold projections, and I think it was a...
Still September.
Yeah, I know, but it was a revisiting...
It's like reading the mock, like, you know, Lenardi's mock.
Yes, exactly,
brackets.
Bracketology. But no, I think it was the First Responders Bowl yet again. Was it against Arizona? I could be incorrect on that. But yeah, so there you go. So I think, oh man, so is that... Oh, Mario Cristobal turned 52 yesterday. Oh, man.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday to him. But, boy, you get beat down by Middle Tennessee State on your birthday in front of 10,000 fans, if that. Oh, God, that's got to be brutal. So, but look, like we said in the first hour, we can kind of shift to the Kentucky discussion if you want. But Louisville did what they needed to do, and now get ready for Boston College and a nooner on the ACC network. And I'm so happy they got away from that Jefferson Pilot broadcast on Bally Sports. I mean, it's just Bob Rathman. He's the voice. He's the TV voice of the Atlanta Hawks. And it's just like it was funny.
Do you have an issue with Bob Rathman?
No, I actually like him. I like him a lot. I just think the product and the TV product is just not very good on RSN. And I think they the sooner they get out of that TV contract, it'll be
Amazon Thursday Night Football broadcast.
What'd you say? My internet's fine with that. I have no problem with that.
It's not as bad as the Amazon. It's not as good as the Amazon broadcast.
I've had no problem with the Amazon broadcast.
I like it too. I know Nick's avoiding it.
Well, yeah, I'm never going to watch it. But I've seen other people that have had quite a few issues with it.
Well, I have strong internet. They don't.
Well, it's good for you. I'd rather just watch it on television when it doesn't really matter as much.
I can't wait. I mean, just 20 years from now, it is just you are just going to be this old curmudgeon with your analog.
I'm
going to
be on the cutting edge.
You're going to be a hipster that's down at Forecastle with bunny ears and holes in your jeans, wearing a tie dye shirt.
That's
Nick's
not true.
Nick's going to be the one guy that actually has a lighter, not using a cell phone.
Don't watch Woodstock '99 because if you get a candle for the Chili Peppers, you're going to be in trouble.
I'm going to be on the cutting edge in 20 years because everyone's going to be back on the cable.
How about Albert Pujols seeing number 700 on Apple TV?
Yeah, those things are terrible.
I've had no problem with Apple TV.
No, just the broadcast itself is terrible.
I've just seen clips.
I can watch it.
Is Benetti still on there? I thought he's away from it.
He did the Peacock Sunday leadoff game on Peacock.
I thought he was on
Fridays,
too.
No. Their productions are pretty bad, in my opinion. I'm not talking about the people calling the game, necessarily. I just think that they're... their graphics and I don't know. It's trying to
the
be
graphics,
like
graphics. They're like in 4K.
They're horrible.
Oh my God!
They're
Amazon
horrible.
And Apple TV are like in 4K.
Their whole production's horrible.
I'm not gonna look. This is your wheelhouse with the broadcasting.
The Apple Plus productions of Major League Baseball is unwatchable in my opinion.
I have it
I
on mute. I don't. I was gonna say
that.
Yeah. That. But in terms of pitcher, Amazon Apple TV way better than ESPN in my opinion.
Okay.
But I mean, but you have the broadcast side of the things with the play-by-play. I'm not going to stay.
I didn't say it was. I'm not talking about their broadcasters. I'm just talking about just the whole thing in general. To me, is unwatchable. It's just not well put together,
okay.
In my opinion.
Well, there you go. Then seems like we'll get an endorsement for Nick Curran and a little Peacock and Apple TV.
I didn't say anything about Peacock. I just said Apple TV.
Well, that's going to get
the Peacock
the halftime show.
The Peacock production just fine, except for when they tried to do the broadcasterless week.
I was so lost on that.
That wasn't a great week, but everything else is fine. Like their production, good. The Apple one, it's. I'm sorry, it's not good.
Well,
I tried. I'm watching a couple times.
Can't wait till the halftime show of the Super Bowl. I'm sure you'll be thrilled about that.
Well,
with
they're just sponsoring it. It's still going to be on television.
You going to call it the Apple Music halftime show, or are you going to call it the Pepsi halftime show?
I'll just call it the halftime show.
Okay.
I'm not obligated to call it the
Apple
halftime
show. I know Phil's going to love the halftime show this year.
It's been denied. You have to shake off my expectations. Taylor Swift is not going to be there now.
No.
It was rumored, but her representatives, maybe it's going to have this big parade.
Save it for what else is going on.
There's no bad blood between me and T Swift, but I just want to make sure that, you know, that's we're just shaking it off for now. And
I got you. Should we talk Kentucky?
Yes, we should talk Kentucky. Number 8 team in the country. A little scare yesterday.
A little bit of a scare against the Huskies. Little NIU scare, I guess, to some degree. Not the sharpest looking game from the Cats. I think that's been a theme against the teams that they've played that have not been perceived to be top level teams. Like they put it together at Florida last week against Youngstown. There's still some offensive line issues for this team. Will Levis was sacked 5 times yesterday. I mean, other than that, he threw for 303 yards and 4 TDs. I still think they keep it very vanilla in these games, too. I saw Strebel on Twitter calling for them to throw the ball more because Levis is kind of the cornerstone of this offense, especially with Chris Rodriguez out. And understanding that they're going to want to establish a running game, but they were having trouble doing it again yesterday, and I get that, and I get what Strebel's saying, but I also think there is an element of Kentucky that tries to stay as vanilla as they possibly can in games like this. Just get out there, get some work in, get some guys in there, do enough to win, and then move on to next week because you go to Oxford. Real test next week. You get a measuring stick game for Kentucky. They've had one going to Gainesville. We don't know how good Florida is. They had that really nice win in the opener against Utah, and now it's kind of like, yeah, how good is Florida? But and did hang in with Tennessee yesterday at Neyland, so maybe pretty good. Obviously, the record not great, but you look at we'll get a look at Kentucky on the road in Oxford next week against Lane Kiffin's team. So that'll be a measuring stick game. I don't think too worried about the play selection and feeling like they're trying to run it too much. It's always who Mark Stoops is going to be at the end of the day, but I also think there's an element of trying to stay pretty vanilla with it. And again, we got to see the receivers, some young receivers and, you know, new receivers to this Kentucky team make some huge plays. Tavion Robinson, great yesterday. Berrion Brown, great again, just making stuff happen in the open field. The defense allowed a little more against NIU than maybe you would have expected. But, again, tough to really judge based on a game like this. The one thing that I keep taking away from these games is the offensive line. They've got to figure that out and shore that up, because if not, it could be difficult, especially during the SEC season for Will Levis, which they're about to get into in earnest.
19 straight non-conference wins for Kentucky football, the longest active non-conference win streak in FBS, by the way. And I think that's indicative of some
their
of the
schedule.
Cupcakes.
I mean,
and
with
but they're
all,
still winning them. But
no, credit them for winning the games. With all due respect to teams like Youngstown State and NIU, those are the types of teams that Kentucky is going to schedule, and I get it. They play in the SEC. Obviously, Louisville's on the schedule every year, and lately that's been a dominant thing for Kentucky too. So credit them for winning. You do still have to go out and win the games. They've gotten to a point where, you know, like Georgia yesterday beating Kent State 39-22, unimpressively per se. That's kind of what Kentucky does with these teams. It's just kind of like probably not super up for the game, and not wanting to show too much against teams like that.
Nick, this is something that's in your wheelhouse.
Oh,
and
boy.
You just gave great analysis, but I just smiled ear to ear clicking on this. You're ready for this?
Please.
Cardinal Curran could join the likes of BBN on this one. ESPN owes Kentucky fans an apology for last night's broadcast. So this is something that BB hitters were. Did you see everyone losing their mind about at ESPN? Because it said it was finishing up Indiana-Cincinnati game, and it says streaming live on the ESPN app.
Yes.
But only thing that was on there was like Kentucky-Georgia state men's soccer.
Oh, and it was not. I didn't bother to even switch over to the app. Once they said it was on ESPN News, then I went over to that. But I was watching the Hoosiers and the Bearcats finish up. So it wasn't actually streaming on
the
app.
So what happened was when folks were going to the app, it said the event has not started yet,
boy.
But it was like 7:20 at this point.
Yeah, so the game was underway.
Yes.
Not good.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah, so
not good. Another slip.
A lot of people. BBN is not happy with that.
Another slip up from the worldwide leader.
But I think ultimately, like you talked about, I mean, Will Levis is just getting all the hype. I mean, he's what, the number four overall. You know, most like he's getting the hype around that from the national media for being a guy that's going to make some leaps in the NFL draft. And I think when you have that, yes, the offensive line is a massive concern for this team. But especially
because of how important Will Levis is,
exactly.
Too, because, you know, you don't want him taking massive hits. He got sacked 5 times against NIU yesterday. You do not want him taking massive hits, obviously, once you get into all conference play, which is coming up.
But with offensive line, massive concern. But I think with the receiving core that you have seen and the bright spots with and Will Levis doing it, and hey, guess what? Chris Rodriguez is returning next week.
Which is big.
I think there is some room that it's like, okay, you can do some different things, especially with Chris Rodriguez coming back there. But Will Levis definitely is, man, I don't know what they would do if he went out there. So offensive line definitely needs to fine-tune it. I know there's many Kentucky fans. Our buddy Drew Brown, CBlue.com, and I heard Strebel and Ince talking about this a little bit on the post-game show last night. It is a rebuild in some capacity for the offensive line. But when you have so many good other parts of your offense with the receiving running back core when healthy, and then Will Levis. I think that's why a lot of people are tense about what this team could potentially do. Sitting at number eight, they sloppy at points, but they did win.
They won, and I'm not like for the running game. You want the offensive line to be better, but I do think, especially once Rodriguez gets back, he's a guy that can take some contact and run through it. So the line doesn't concern me as much for their running game. It really is the passing game because they have playmakers. And I think they've done a good job of trying to call plays for Will Levis that involve him getting the ball out quickly. And that's how they've sort of countered that a little bit. Get the ball out quickly and let some of their talented receivers make plays in space, which they've been able to do. And so there's ways around it, but you don't want those free run sacks coming too much because you cannot afford for Levis to go down. I don't think there's any doubt about it. So we're going to take Eric first and then go to break. 267-9680 is the phone number. Our good buddy Eric up next here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. What's up, Eric?
Oh, man, I'm feeling good today, guys. Was that not awesome yesterday on all levels?
Yes, it was. There was a lot of all, I guess it was 40,000 that were named for the crowd there, maybe a little bit lighter of that. But
a lot of levels.
Yes, but, everyone seemed in decent spirits and everything. Appreciate the shout-out on the post-game show with Spencer yesterday with Ennis and company talking about SMH. So what song were you trying to get him to play yesterday? Or maybe that's – am I teasing something?
Oh, that one song. How You Like Me Now.
Is that Young Gravy?
Yeah, I know that one.
I know what song you're talking about.
I think you're maybe talking about Toby Keith.
Yeah, How You Like Me Now.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, the crowd, you know, it's a lot of people just hanging out. And here's the thing. The bottom line, first of all, it was a big win. I mean, people can talk about South Florida. Doesn't matter. They went into the Swamp, which is always going to be tough, and played a Florida team really, really close. And we just looked good. And, you know, when you look at the way we played, if we play like that or even better, we could beat anyone left on the schedule, including at Clemson. It's just, you know, we've got to maintain this consistency. But, you know, I think, again, you got to win. And the more we win, if we win on the road – these next two games, come back for that home game, you're going to see a lot more people there. So
I think so, yeah, especially if it's not at noon.
Well, if it's not at noon?
Yeah, if it's not at noon. If we could get like a 3:30 or maybe a 7 o'clock kick, really would also go a long way toward helping the attendance.
Well,
but
that helps. They need to win those games to get out of those
sure.
noon
no,
slots.
No
in
question.
Order to, yes.
No question. But Pitt, pretty big-time opponent. Starts the part of the schedule that is going to be tough. If they could win the next two, I think you're right, would reinvigorate the crowd, and the game not being at noon would reinvigorate the crowd also.
See, Nick, I'm with you, though. I love noon kickoffs.
Of course.
They're
great.
I mean,
but I'm not going out there to try to tailgate and get hammered either. So if
wasn't stopping many yesterday.
No, but it's tougher. It's tougher when it's at noon. It's a tougher deal, and I get that. Yeah, different priorities.
It's, you know, the 3:30 slot is, I guess, the most coveted slot. But I don't know, for me, I love the noon one. And I know I'm probably in the minority amongst Louisville fans.
You are in the minority amongst the Louisville fans. I feel pretty safe in saying that.
Oh, man. Volleyball today, big game. Another one on ESPN, I believe, right, at Florida State.
I know some got picked up by that. I believe that's what I heard.
They got it. They it was a good number they did in terms of a rating when the UK U of L game was on there. Indeed, it is on ESPN, the Uno Card Sweat Miami, Friday night, 3 o'clock on ESPN, taking on the Noles in Tallahassee today.
You know, the volleyball team, they are the road warriors. I mean, they are just like, you know, going on the road and just, you know, torching, you know, the opponents, which, you know, I'm looking forward to that today. And, Nick, it was good seeing you this week.
Great to see you at the ballpark. Yeah, that was awesome.
And I've been meaning to ask you this for a couple weeks. What are your thoughts on
the minor leagues unionizing?
It's going to be interesting. I'm really intrigued to see how, because they're also going to be represented by the Major League Baseball Players Union, and I'm going to be interested to see how they kind of divide that up. I'm going to be interested to see what their top priorities are, because they have already made up sort of a lot of ground on a lot of stuff they wanted before unionizing and going into this year. So I'll be interested to see where the priorities are. I think it's a good thing largely for players who are playing now, and I think different concerns in terms of facilities or maybe even travel and rules about how late you can play on a getaway day and things like that will be good. I do think that if there's a bunch of stuff that they collectively bargain that is going to cost Major League Baseball more, they're not just going to, like, teams aren't just going to pay more. They're going to find a way to offset it. And so I don't know if it'll end up being a great thing for ownership of minor league teams. We'll see. I think a lot of the costs might get sort of pawned off on them. And I also think there's a chance that Major League Baseball could, again, just get rid of a level, again, of the minor leagues and wipe out some teams. So there's less minor league players to sort of offset whatever the cost may be, depending on what it is. So I think there's a lot of different ways it could go, and I'll be pretty fascinated to see how it goes.
That is going to be interesting. You know, you're talking about the financial costs there, and I didn't think about it in terms of what the teams will do. You know, what will the Reds do? I don't know. The minimum salary for a major league player, what is it, $250,000?
For a big league player?
Yeah.
The big league minimum salary is way over $250,000. I think it's like $400,000. Let's see. Sorry, way low. $700,000.
$700,000.
That's the minimum salary.
Like the middle reliever, you know, the middle reliever who's out there just hanging out in the bullpen, you know. And what about the minors? I mean, I don't know. I don't know this. What's the disparity in the contracts between the minors and the majors?
Well, it's large. Minor league players get, I think, a AAA guys make the minimum's like 30 grand or 40 grand or something like that now, which is up from what it was before. The veteran guys will get paid more, who, you know, are signed as free agents or whatever. But yeah, I mean, you don't get paid a ton to be a minor league baseball player. Now, veterans at AAA will get paid decent. And, you know, got a lot of guys who are kind of hotter shot prospects get big signing bonuses after getting drafted or signed, whatever the case may be. So, you know, it can be a little bit misleading. But the guys that aren't huge draft picks and don't get huge signing bonuses and who are working their way up the system, the pay is certainly not large.
Eric, appreciate the call, man. We got to get the Larry before Spencer Jackknife power bombs me. It could get ugly during break. So I appreciate the call, buddy. Don't be a stranger. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, guys. You have a great week. And Sir Roger Federer.
Indeed.
So maybe you'll hear about that and what else is going on. You never know.
Career over. Thanks, Eric. 267-9680, the phone number. Before we hit a break, we go to everyone's good buddy, Uncle Larry, who, Larry, I believe on your way to Jim Patterson Stadium, you tweeted, right?
Yeah, that's mainly what I'm calling about, guys. I know it's football season, I get all that, but I've had a hunger for baseball since the last game, and I'm going to head over there today. What it is, guys, it's a scrimmage game against Purdue. It starts at 1 o'clock, free admission. So if you're sitting at home with a hangover headache or whatever you got and you want to get out for a little while, head over to Jim Patterson and let's cheer the University of Louisville Cardinal baseball team up. It's funny, you were talking just now, Nick, about salaries for Major League Baseball players. Just the other day, I just Googled salary for AAA baseball. And the answer I got when I Googled was right now is between $400 and $600 a week for a AAA baseball player. That they said that's the average. So I just went by that. I know they don't get paid a lot, and the guys really work their butts off to, you know, to climb the ladder. You know all about it because you do the broadcast. But one comment though about these players. I'm so proud about University of Louisville baseball players and grinding it out, like I said, trying to get up to their dream. I think we just call Los Angeles Louisville West guys because we got four players getting it on for the Dodgers. So I'll let you go. Be safe. It's raining like crazy here in Oklahoma. I don't know what's doing down there. So talk to you later, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Larry.
Uncle Larry, now we can see the laundry and tan connection perfectly. Mark with the C. Weinberg must have a force field like Wakanda
It's a thin strip of storms kind of blowing over once it's passed. It should be a great day. I think it may have gotten past us here. So,
well, yeah, I can see the rust on the sign for the laundry and tan connection. When is this Target hotel going to get built? I'm so tired of seeing
it.
They're building a Target in a hotel across the street.
There's a Target going in across the street?
Allegedly. We're the city that has renderings and things before.
Is that an Insomnia of cookies over there?
That has survived the doomsday next to Gray's Books, yes. And the laundry and tan connection, of course.
I didn't know that was there.
It's a whole thing. Nikki V's ordered multiple times.
Oh, so we order it pretty frequently, too. I don't
Spencer,
think it's
calm down.
Though.
You're not going to, you don't all need right. to put me in a torture rack. We're fine. We're going to go to break.
267-9680 is the phone number. $700 a week is the minimum AAA salary, by the way, which is higher than it used to be. 437-9680, the UPS jobs text line. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more. What else is going on? Country Song of the Week is next. It's a Sunday morning hangover on ESPN 680 and 105.7. It's our country song of the week.
Is this Sleazy World Go featuring Little Baby?
It is not. Damn. It is Toby Keith featuring no one. How do you like me now? It's exactly what Eric was talking about earlier.
I thought he was talking about the song How Do You Like Me Now by the Heavies.
Well, maybe
I thought
maybe he was.
Maybe he was. Maybe it's not. But this is our country song of the week.
It is. Inspired by Eric. Toby Keith, How Do You Like Me Now? Our country song of the week. A classic.
All right, we got to go rapid fire because we only have about, 10 minutes or so?
About 15 to 17 minutes?
Well, no, Spencer told me we got to get out early. We got a full slate of NFL games coming up now. So without further ado, it's your least favorite. It's our favorite. It is what else is going on right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7 if it's not buffering, so we shall see it.
And now it's time for What Else Is Going On with Nick Curran and Nick Evans.
And Spencer Brown and Phil Baker. Sorry, that was a choppy edit job by me. I apologize for
Nick's
the mess.
Just looks like he's staring into
he's probably, is he
right
reading
here.
The text line? Or are you going down the wormhole of the text
I
line?
Was,
what,
I was.
What's
sorry.
Going on?
Sorry, I completely forgot. The thing's so echoey, it's very confusing.
It's a whole thing going on. All right, first up, let's see. I saw Scotty D out at the Revel XP tailgate. For believe the tailgate, guys. Great setup down there
all
for
right.
those that haven't been out there. Scotty D and Blank were chopping up shop. And
I'm sure they were chopping it up.
Blank had a 502 Collective polo on.
Oh, wow. Is Blank a member of the 502 Collective?
He got the white membership.
What membership's that?
They got him a black polo. Anyways, I saw Scotty D out there. I was commenting on his great stripes, or I'm sorry, checks over stripes. Scotty D and I were talking about the stat. Did you see what Kelly Dickey put out there about how, like, just it's the first, I want to get this right so Scotty D doesn't kill me, but I mean, like, going on the road and essentially playing Louisville, Kentucky, UCLA, it's something from Kelly Dickey. I want to get this right. Anyways,
I think it was Duke, Kentucky, and UCLA in like an 8-day span.
Exactly.
And only like one and team's done like a calendar year.
I think Clemson in there too. Yep.
So speaking of Clemson, this is really funny. Okay, so four great programs have played in Cameron, Pauley, Rupp, U of L, UNC, St. John's, and Indy over the over the course of two seasons. U of L in 330 days from December 82 through November 83. Bellarmine at Duke, at UCLA, at UK in a span of 9 days. So he said Kelly Dickey helped him out with that. How these guys come up with these like just stats? I got to see their spreadsheet. It's like Lucius Fox at the end of The Dark Knight.
Probably.
When they just have all these TVs and they're just blowing up. He's like, no man should have this much power and stuff
like
that.
What's the password he has to put in? Just to put in a password to blow it up. Louisville men's basketball, by the way, red-white scrimmage capping homecoming weekend, Sunday, October 23rd. Tickets on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. for that. It's a 3 o'clock scrimmage on the 23rd, in case you were interested in headed out there.
I think it's his name, if I'm drawing.
I think it is. I think it is, too.
It's his, anyways, all right, but Scotty D, Blank just interjects himself. I'm with Coop and Sweetie, mm-hmm. And Blank's like, hey, you know, I may take that trip down to Clemson with you all.
Oh.
And I'm like, if there's a PJ involved in PJ private jet, I think they're, you know, Scotty D may be getting ESPN Louisville having an assembly of us coming. You want to hop on that flight if they'll take us?
It depends on the schedule.
It's 50-50. We got to wait and see how it plays out. But Blank just throwing himself on the team plate for
had
that.
Had he been invited previously, or was he just out of nowhere like, hey, I think I'm going to come with you all?
I think it was
Scotty
that.
Scotty D has blanketly put on the show, his own show, that like okay. Anyone's invited to come travel sure. The team.
Sure, sure. I would love for Scotty D to then be like, I don't know that we have room.
Scotty D,
that would be
just
phenomenal.
Glistening in his Nikes. He and I chatted about his socks and his shoes combo.
Sure.
Apparently, he's getting some love from the check mark over
That's
there,
good.
And I appreciate that.
That's good.
The things people care about. All right, next up, the NBA age rule changing. One and done,
yeah.
No mas. Apparently, any other week, if this was over the summer, this would probably be our entire show.
Could have been.
But yes,
too bad they didn't do it till now.
Well,
we could have used it over the summer.
Yeah, kidding. They
want Bronny in the league.
100%. I can't wait.
Is Bronny any good?
Probably not, but they're probably going to protect him enough that you don't see enough of him to where he'll probably be drafted by the Sacramento Kings or Orlando Magic. And
so a team's going to take him. And then LeBron will coach that team then, probably?
That's kind of what I'm thinking. Or he wants to play with them. It's kind of the
or he'll
junior
play. Well, he'll,
and senior
I mean,
type
that's what
setup.
I said. He'll coach the team.
Spencer, do you want to dive into the Boston head coach fiasco? You were telling me some updates on that. So we go to our Boston Northeast correspondent on marital affairs, Spencer Brown.
Oh, no, I don't know anything about that.
Well, just tell me what you were reading off the internet.
It is definitely a horrible situation for everyone involved. Brad Stevens alliterated on the press conference I had Friday morning, I think it was. He's like, you know, I just feel bad. Like, all the women involved in the Celtics organization that have been, you know, they've been blasted on social media because people try to speculate who it is that Ime may have had an affair with. And it's like, it's not fair to these women.
But now we know who he allegedly did.
It was supposedly a travel agent. And she...
Not a travel agent.
She's not with AAA. She's with the Boston Celtics.
She works for the Celtics, right?
And Nia Long moves to Boston. So definitely bad for that situation there, but
what is happening in the Atlantic Division?
But you know
right
what,
now?
Joe Mazzulla, former West Virginia great, is
broke the hearts of many Kentucky fans. Yes, he's only 34.
Joe Mazzulla coached, I believe he coached. He was on the staff at Fairmont State when they were
correct.
Playing against Bellarmine.
The more you know, right there. But yes,
yeah,
so
he was a D2 head coach for a couple years
between Doc Rivers and this. It's just, it's been a tough week in that division. Next up, let's see. We had this. Did you see the high school prank that was circulating between Trinity and St. X going on Twitter? They put
a
banner.
Blank.
Yeah, Blank got that from Double D. Apparently, it was circulating around. Was it Trinity put a banner? It said
no. St. X had a banner at Trinity
on said property of St. X.
Yeah.
Did you all ever do a high school prank?
No.
You don't want.
I never took part
Boys,
in
if you all ran around with me, the debauchery
no,
that would have...
listen, would've... I don't want to
We
be
had
part
a banner up on our high school gym, and I'll say it was not as PG as that, you can imagine.
Congratulations to the Tigers beating the Shamrocks on Friday night, 13-8.
Aaron Judge, the Chase, are you getting upset? Well, I know you're not. Are you getting upset that everyone's cutting into the college football broadcast to see some history?
No, it's history. You got to watch it. It's history.
As long as it doesn't happen tonight against Boston, I'll be fine.
It's going to happen tonight. It's going to happen tonight on Sunday Night Baseball.
We thought it would happen the last couple days. Just got to get one more game with
Aaron Judge.
Maybe
he's saving it for Sunday Night Baseball with Michael K not on the broadcast. Is there going to be an A-Rod?
Michael K is on the broadcast. There's a K-Rodcast tonight.
Oh, so there's that tonight.
That's the alternate version. You can watch Ravi. You can watch the K-Rodcast.
Did you see Marvin Harrison Jr. swag last night?
Ravi, David Cohen, Eduardo Perez. Sorry, don't want to shortchange anybody. Who?
Did you see Marvin Harrison Jr. last night?
No, I didn't.
Did you see this?
I saw it circulating.
He was wearing an Apple Watch during the game and some Louis Vuitton cleats. They were Nike, but they just got a custom.
How do you wear an Apple Watch during the game?
Well, he was.
I thought that was illegal.
I did too.
Was he playing? A few years ago.
I've had some high school coaches.
Wait, was he playing in the watch?
Yes, he was playing, yes.
That doesn't feel like it's legal.
So, I have some high school buddies that are...
Can you just text him in plays then?
Essentially. I mean, how's it any different than a quarterback having a flap on his wrist?
I mean, it's very different.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, it's just, you know, you got the Flintstones and Jetsons. Anyways,
yeah.
I have some high school buddies that are kind of in the coaching ranks, and they said that's like a whole thing, like where kids are playing in AirPods and like football helmets.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're playing in their cell phone. It's like, you're going to crush your phone. And it's a whole thing. So,
I mean, who was the Pirates?
Rodolfo
Pirates
Castro, I believe it was Castro, slid into third base, and the phone popped out of his back pocket.
Tom Brady and Giselle.
Oh.
They rented the Tampa Bay mansion from Derek Jeter in 2020. Now that estate will be demolished. Jeter sold the home last year for $22.5 million, and now it's being demolished. Shout out the Jeter. Did you see what Tyler Van Dyke said last week? He said he prefers playing road games because the Hurricanes have a terrible home atmosphere.
Well, that's tough.
Definitely showed it yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, again, they're not Kyleville. They're not, you know, Tennessee. They're not Bama. Like, but... when things are going well, they got it going. You know, that's what the U is.
It's also got to be tough in a city that has professional sports teams, too, that they rally around.
I don't even think it's just that. I think it's just a city in general. There's just more things to do.
Yeah. That's, yeah. I mean, that's been the joke on Miami sports for a while. The Heat fans arrive late, even in the heyday. It is what it is.
Shout out to Tua. I mean, I just love that.
What a game last week.
Whew. Fantasy points there. Oh my god. I mean,
I picked him up in a league.
Somebody had him on the bench in one of the league, and it was ridiculous. Like,
you would have
there.
Him on the bench.
Let's see. Do you see Joey Votto just sitting in the stands?
Yeah,
I know that's
out.
That's something that's perfect for you. I figured you thoroughly enjoyed that. But
no, it was great.
The man of the people.
He was on the TV broadcast this week for the Reds, hanging out, just enjoying a game from the stands, making good use of his time on the injured list, closing out the year.
Next up, do you see this from Brett McMurphy? A 21-year-old Utah student was arrested after she threatened to detonate a nuclear reactor that is located on the campus if the Utes lost to San Diego State Saturday. She was booked into Salt Lake County Jail. Kind of has the vibes to the Thor guy. Well, the Thor guy, remember?
By the way, I think they won the game, so that was... Whew.
And also, we talked about this new Super Bowl halftime show sponsor, Apple Music.
Apple Music.
Entered into a multi-year deal replacing Pepsi.
We don't know the halftime show yet.
Three sources close to the situation said that Taylor Swift would play, but then her reps came out and she had to shake it off, in fact, and said she is not headlining the Super Bowl halftime show despite rumors that you had out there. And also, lastly, closing out, you had, according to leaders that from some text messages for the UNC, floated out the idea of an ACC Pac-12 being called the Atlantic Pacific Athletic Conference. If
the APAC.
Sounds terrible.
The APAC. There you go. That's how we leave you. Fun show. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, happy birthday to Will Smith, Men in Black.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? LocallyOwnedDelivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.